This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Tanner, I have some pretty, I think, promising news on the doll front for you.
Okay, great.
That just happened today, just before we sat down to record.
Okay.
So as you know, it's been a great disappointment to me that my son, Cyril, has up until now refused to play with the Babysitter's Club dolls that we got for him.
Yep. I'm aware of this.
And I don't know where he got it from. I didn't teach him that it's that boys can't play with dolls, but he seemed to think that.
Right.
Today, out of nowhere, he said to me, "Dada, can you have Claudia?" Which is what he says when he wants me to get a toy to play with. Okay. And so I picked up Claudia.
"What's my name?"
"Claudia."
"My name's Claudia."
And then we did a game that he invented where alligators are chasing her.
"The alligators are chasing you."
"Oh no, the alligators are chasing me. Will you help me?"
"No, I'm not helping."
"You won't help me?"
"No."
Okay.
And then he said, "Detta, can you have Stacy?"
"I want Stacy."
And so I went back and got Stacy. And then we did do a game that he invented where tigers were chasing Stacy out of New York.
"I'm Stacy. I am from New York."
"The tigers are coming."
Ooh. That is a good premise for a book.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a super special. Here's what happens.
Yeah, Stacy and the Tigers.
Dual vacations.
Stacy,
Christy, and Marianne go to New York.
Right.
To do some kind of babysitting thing.
Mm-hmm. At the zoo.
Claudia.
Yeah.
Dawn. And the other babysitters.
Yeah. It's been a while since we read any of the books. So we can't remember anyone beyond the original four.
Go to the bayou.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
On vacation.
Yeah.
Claudia gets chased out of the bayou by alligators.
Okay. Yeah.
Stacy, in a sort of day after tomorrow's type situation, I Am Legend type situation, society collapses.
Yeah.
New York goes to seed.
Mm-hmm.
And the tigers from the New York City Zoo escape and breed.
Okay.
With gorillas.
Gorillas.
From the zoo, and they become super tigers.
Okay.
Walk upright.
Cyril's going to love this.
And they chase Stacy out of New York City.
Okay.
Into New Jersey, and she's mortified to be in New Jersey. Because she's a New York City girl, you know?
Right. Gotcha.
So.
That's good. I love that.
And then, I guess it needs to resolve somehow. How about this? The only vaccine for the deadly strain of gorilla virus going around is in the CDC lab in Stony Brook, Connecticut. So they need to get back to Stony Brook to save the world.
I love it. Okay. Well, maybe let's pitch it to Mark later to see if he wants to star in it, because we will be having.
Yes. Mark, Watson Mark himself. Welcome
Mark
to the Forrest. Show.
No.
We're so excited to have
Tanner,
you.
We've done this so many times.
You're our favorite character.
Talked to him earlier today already, and he's not currently here, and you would know because you can't physically see him.
All right.
Anymore.
Plus, he was so vibrant, and he lit up our Zoom screens.
I know. I'm still seeing like trails of it.
The light of him is gone from my life.
Yeah. You know? He really did. Folks, we got a great interview with Mark Feuerstein coming up, and Tanner and I are still glowing from what a wonderful conversation we had.
He was so much fun.
Mostly talked about high school wrestling.
Jack and Mark mostly talked about high school wrestling. Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to. Just that's called a tease to like keeps people around, you know, in case we get bored.
Yeah. Ooh. I came for the Babysitter's Club, but I'm going to stay for the high school wrestling. Prep school wrestling.
What I would love to say to you, Tanner, and to the Baby Nation is, hi, hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club. And you say it too?
And you say it, and I don't. And it's a podcast in which I, Jack Shepherd.
And I'm Tanner Greenring.
And what we do is we talk about the Babysitter's Club video novels now. And this week we're going to be talking about very specifically a video novel called Netflix show number 8, Christie's Big Day.
Yes, she menstruates.
Okay, yes, that is true. Yes, they do have that is a big focus of the plot.
Well, and that's what she says when she menstruates and everyone comes to celebrate.
Yeah.
She says, I guess it's my big day too.
I guess it's my big day too. Right. Because otherwise it would have been called Batgirl's big day. It would have been called Batgirl's big day if it were.
And it wasn't. Yeah,
wedding.
Whatever. That was inconsequential.
Yeah.
The important part was that Christie menstruated and mm-hmm. Batgirl, I guess, got married.
Yes. And Batgirl gets married to Watson Brewer. What we like to do traditionally is to describe the video novel.
Mm.
We've been taking it in turns. And
okay, but this week we're not going to. This week you're going to...
No, we're going to continue taking it in turns. And that's why I'm saying this with such glee and delight, because I can just sit back and listen to your dulcet tones as you tell me what happened in the show I watched this afternoon.
Okay, I'm going to do a poor job, though.
Why? Because you're salty today. Because you didn't sleep.
You're salty. I'm going to do a poor job because I'm getting nothing but bad vibes from you.
You're getting nothing
and
but bad
you,
vibes
Mark.
From me because you're salty. Mark's not here. He left. He's gone. We talked to him earlier this afternoon.
I've lost the ability to sleep.
Yeah. Because you're moving.
I think it's probably a lot of reasons.
Okay.
I'm laid off from my job. I'm moving. I'm starting a new job. It's all, mm-hmm. it's pretty heavy, you know?
Okay, well, I've got good news for you.
Reading a very engaging book.
Childcare
makes it very difficult to
super easy
sleep.
After the first year. So you're past all of the hardest stuff, and there will be no trouble from Miles.
We've already set him up with a Montessori school.
Okay.
It's in their hands now.
Hell yeah.
They're going to teach him how to vacuum.
Cyril's rocking Montessori, too. They should FaceTime and talk about, like, Montessori troubles. They keep making me put these fucking toys away when I'm done with them. That's the whole thing about Montessori.
Maybe I should send everyone in my household to Montessori.
Yeah, good.
I'm the only one who puts toys away in this household.
Wow, Jamie listens. That's gonna be a real barb.
She's gonna be so mad.
She's gonna be really mad at that. Do you want me to keep it in, Tanner?
Yes, Tell Jamie, I was just joking. I love you. Jamie, right. Baby Nation, Jamie cleans up toys too.
Yeah.
Okay. That was just an easy joke to make.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
She cleans them up more than I do.
Okay, that's enough. This is becoming a little bit too much of a love fest. What I would love for you to do is to describe every single thing that happens in this fantastic video novel. I loved it.
Very good episode.
Loved it. But you've only got 60 seconds to describe it. The rules are the rules. I've got a big bad clock. I'm going to begin your time now.
Watson and Batgirl are getting married finally. They're all moving into Watson's mansion. Watson buys Charlie a BMW 4-cylinder, which doesn't seem that impressive. I think most cars are 4-cylinder. Christie and Batgirl are having trouble grappling with the fact that the Watson is so generous with his money and keeps buying them things. But Christie comes around quicker because her bridesmaid dress is yellow, makes her look like a banana. And then she says, I don't like it. And Watson gets her a new dress that costs $800, according to Karen. The girls are around. They're all getting ready for the wedding to Richard and Sharon are sort of like in a flirtatious relationship, and it seems like love is blossoming there. Morbid Destiny is the officiant. Christie gets her period, and they get in a big fight with Batgirl, and then they make up at the end, and that's it.
That's fine. I didn't like the attitude on it, honestly.
What do you mean?
I didn't like the attitude.
Come at it with a bad attitude.
You came at it. I felt like you were saying it at me. I want to say two things. One, you did a pretty good job, so I'll say that up front.
Thank
Two,
you.
It felt like you were saying it at me angrily, and Do you want to answer for that?
If I won't apologize for that, but if okay. I will, here's what I will apologize for.
Yeah.
If for some reason you feel
yeah.
like I have came that I came at you with an aggression,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that you have that.
Okay.
Had that understanding.
You know what I'm realizing?
And you're incorrect.
Okay.
But, and if I did have any kind of attitude,
yeah,
it's because you made me do this okay. thing.
I'd like to apologize now.
And you know I'm in a...
I know you're in a salty mood.
Challenging mood.
You didn't sleep, and you're packing to move, and your life is a nightmare.
Yeah.
I would like to apologize because I
just realized... You remember when you moved across state lines?
Yeah.
And how accommodating I was? I was like, let's cancel the podcast.
Yeah. But we didn't. Never missed a week. I would like to apologize, Tanner, because I realized that up front, I forgot to tell, well, my divine spark forgot to tell your divine spark that
yep.
it recognizes it.
Yep.
And that's a sorry from me. That's a big sorry from me.
That's also a big part of it. And I felt that.
Yeah.
I felt that distance.
Yeah.
I think between us, because that's not, that's
normally
start the show with that
when we greet each other
this time. Yeah.
We talk about the divine spark intermingling, and we fucking didn't this time, and it really put us off on a wrong foot.
Jack, let's talk about the
video novel.
Elephant in the room.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say this on the main feed, but I feel like Christy has forced my hand.
Okay.
And I have a new segment I'd like to introduce.
Okay.
It's called Kinetichek.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah, Kinetichek is good.
Premise of Kinetichek is I am moving to Connecticut.
Yeah. And so now you're an expert.
To get closer to sort of my Babysitter's Club roots. Yeah. Books are almost over. We're almost done with the Netflix series. Then we're almost done with the Friends Forever series. And
yeah,
I felt like I had to go to the source.
Yeah.
A lot like... what was the Doctor Who spinoff called?
The Welsh
Torchwood.
One? Torchwood, yeah.
How they all lived in that little base in Cardiff where
right.
all the aliens always slip through.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm doing. I'm going to Connecticut.
That's a super relatable reference for all seven people yeah. who watch Torchwood, who I assume
I could
also
barely
watch,
even remember the name
to our
of
show.
It.
Yeah.
I'm going to Connecticut to
yeah.
to get closer to the source of the power of the Babysitter's Club and see if I can channel that into some kind of new
right.
or fresh Babysitter's Club energy.
It's all we have.
Yeah. So I'm moving to Connecticut later this week. Mm-hmm. I have been doing a lot of prep to get ready for my move.
Yeah.
One of the things I did was get my utilities turned on.
Okay.
In this episode, at the 4-minute, 10-second mark, Christy says...
Last year around this time, my mom was fighting with Connecticut Water and Power to lower our bill.
Okay.
The power company in Connecticut is actually called Eversource.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm pretty sure the city municipalities control the water.
Yeah.
We just okay. pay like a sewer tax.
Wow.
So,
okay. You fucking
nice try,
called
Christy.
Them out. Nice try, Christy. You're lying.
But this has been... You've been... Kinetichek.
You've been Kinetichek. That's good. I am so delighted that our podcast has come so far from thinking that Stony Brook was in Long Island to being
yeah.
in a position to actually explain the nuances of Connecticut to the
life in
babysitters themselves.
Yeah.
Wow. How far have we come?
I know. And Baby Nation, we haven't told you this. We told the elite babies because, well, they get...
They get elite
they
access.
They pay for special access.
Yeah.
And if you want sort of like the news before it's news,
yeah,
you should pay to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
Yep.
I'm moving to Connecticut. I'm moving to a town that is about 40 minutes away from Stamford. I'm really doing my best to capture the essence of living in Stony Brook, Connecticut.
Right.
I found a town that's very bee themed.
Mm-hmm.
So... next time you hear my voice, I'll be recording.
The baseball team's called the Hive.
They're called the Bees.
The Bees, okay.
Yeah.
The Hive is cool. I bet the fans are called the Hive.
That would be cool. Well, yeah. I'll tell you once I become a fan. once I move up there. So Connecticut, it's our new segment. And now it's that a good I'm one. Living there, I'm going to be kind of
Connecticut checking everybody.
Yep. Yep.
Great. What I would like to talk about is something that we've talked about a little bit before, but it led me all the way down a rabbit hole that Rachel Schuchert, the hand of God, created for me. And okay. into a world so vast and terrifying that I don't know what to make of it. So I'd love for you to follow me along this journey.
Please. I would love to follow you.
Do you remember, Tanner, last time we talked about the clock in Claudia's room? Claudia's clock? You don't have
to. Do I remember the last time we talked about the clock in Claudia's room? No. Have we ever done that?
Yeah, we have on this show about 3 episodes ago.
Okay.
The clock in Claudia's room, whenever they show it in these video novels, and they show it now because you can see them, which is something Anna and Martin never thought to do. But you can actually see what's happening in the book with these video novels.
Right. That's
and
the,
when Anne
I think
did
that's
it,
the idea.
You had to think it in your mind and imagine it. And when Anne did it, I imagined the clock as showing sometime between 5 and 5:30.
Yes, because that's when the
because that's when the meetings happen. Yep. But in these video novels, what the Hand of God Rachel Schuchert has done is the clock in Claudia's room says 3:42.
Okay.
The time on the clock is 3:42. This was true last time.
These young women are in school. Well, you know what? Is that true? When's the last time we saw a scene in Stony Brook in SMS?
When Dawn and
Marianne saves the day.
When Marianne and Christy were fighting, yeah.
3.
Yeah.
So these girls are not going to school on a regular schedule.
But let me ask you this, Tanner. Why would it? This is now 2 episodes where they've shown the clock in Claudia's room. In both episodes, the time has been 3:42.
Okay.
And if you'll remember, last time we talked about the Bible verse, Lamentations 3:42, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven.
Right.
So that's resonant. This time, since the Hand of God showed me this clock again with the same time again, I assumed that she wanted
Is it a digital clock?
No.
Okay. So maybe it just doesn't have batteries in it.
I don't think that's it.
Okay. And what do you think it is then?
Well, I think
it would be if it were a digital clock. It would be very suspicious because it means like they're very intentionally waiting to shoot this scene until 3:42.
Why would Rachel show us the clock again? I thought we'd already solved it.
Yeah.
So here's the first thing I thought. Okay, we got the Bible verse. We got all we could out of that. We have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. What if I check to see what's happening at the 3:42 mark in this video novel?
Okay.
You want to know what's happening?
Tell me.
Are you ready to know what's happening?
Tell me.
It's the scene where they show the clock.
What? It's like recursion.
At the 3:42 mark of the show, it's exactly the scene where they show the clock, which says 3:42.
So they just want us to go deeper.
They want us to go deeper.
I don't know. As deep as we can go,
I did
go deeper.
We're
just going to kind of get stuck in this loop, you know?
They're
trying to trap us. They're trying to trap us.
Yeah.
Rachel and Lucia are trying to trap us in temporal
space. An infinite loop. In a recursion. Yeah.
They're trying to throw us off. They don't want us digging any deeper into these novels. They don't want us digging any deeper than this surface level, so they're trying to trap us in a loop.
Yeah.
But I think you and I are too crafty for that.
We're too crafty for that. And here's something else I've discovered. I'd love to talk through it with you. At the 3:59 mark in this video novel, Christy says,
Dawn's mom has some crazy allergy to yellowtail.
Yes, which I think is a kind of wine.
And Dawn says,
can't eat it, can't stay away from it.
So here's what we know about yellowtail, Tanner. There's a fish called yellowtail, otherwise known as amberjack. Which is interesting. Amber.
That is interesting. Amber Jack.
Amber Jack. So this is Rachel planting a flag, right?
This is her gloating.
She's gloating.
She's saying, I've trapped Jack and Amber with my tricky
with my tricky riddle. Time recursion, which is exactly what you just said she did.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's another thing we know about Yellowtail. And this may be what Don's mom is actually allergic to. Yellowtail is also another term for the gold tail moth.
Okay.
Now, the gold tail, and so that's what they're serving at the wedding, but they had to change it at the last moment.
Moth. Yeah.
It's gold tail moths. Gold tail moths have white wings and a soft white furry body with a yellow tail tuft. They're hairy caterpillars. That's a fun thing to say. They're hairy.
It's a gross thing to think about.
Their hairy caterpillars are known as Palmer worms. So I'm actually, honestly, just as an aside, I'm glad that they ended up not serving this at the wedding, because it would have been hard to watch.
It's just someone like take a big heaping spoonful of moths.
There's later a scene where Dawn is like eats like a truffle, and she's like, I don't even care if it's vegan. Could you imagine if she'd done that with the fucking like wriggling Palmer worms?
Just jams a bunch of hairy worms in her mouth.
I don't. This is so good. I don't even care if it's vegan.
I don't even care if it's not vegan.
Okay, so Rachel has entrapped you.
Okay,
you've dug deeper. You found the moths.
I've dug deeper. I found the
moths. The moths are significant for any reason.
And I found the Palmer worms. And let me tell you, who's the most famous Palmer? Obviously, Palmer from Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Okay.
And as you know, I'm sure. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer at one point, I think, split up, and Palmer formed another band with one of them, either Emerson or Lake, called Three. It was very poorly reviewed, but they have one album which is called To the Power of Three. And while we're talking about Three, the third song on that album, called Chains, is 3 minutes and 42 seconds in length.
3 minutes and 42 seconds long. Yeah.
Exactly.
And what are chains for?
Chains. And here's the lyrics, Tanner. Chains, chains, the kind that won't break. Invisible chains holding us together. Chains, chains, there's nowhere to escape. I'm making you mine. I'm keeping you forever. Amberjack.
Amberjack. This is troubling, and it feels like it's Rachel and Lucia and
Mark, let's just say
Mark,
it.
I'm worried Mark is involved.
Yeah.
Naya, Lucy.
Yeah.
This is them playing God.
Yeah.
They saw what Anne did with these girls.
Yeah. They're trying to bring us in.
Who can we exert our power over?
Yes.
And keep in mind, Naya reached out to us.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
We love your show. We want to have everyone on the Netflix show, on your show.
Yeah.
Can you stop doing your show indefinitely?
Yeah.
And do...
and do our show. Get sucked show into it.
And may if you get trapped in Amber along the way... Nothing we can do about that, right?
Wow.
And here we are. They've already got you, Amberjack.
Yeah.
Seems like it's only a matter of time before they get me.
Amber Tanner.
Unless I can flee to the source of the power.
Right. Wow. That's something, isn't it? And they put it all in this video text. It's only 20 minutes long, but they put all that stuff in there. And they didn't think I was going to follow it all the way because they thought I was going to get trapped in a damn loop when I looked at 3:42 and it was the clock saying 3:42. But I didn't, as far as I know.
And if you're a new listener.
Yeah.
If you came on from the...
from when we the saw us featured on iTunes.
Or, yeah. This is it. This is
what
kind of
we
what
do.
The show is. Yeah. And a lot of it is Amber. So Amber's, well,
the girls
are trapped
in
Amber in the books, and they're it's just
they live every
time.
Year over and over and over and over.
Yes.
Yeah. And Dawn references it actually at the end of this novel. Sorry, Claudia references it at the end of this novel. She says they're all hugging, and Claudia says she changes her mind about going to Camp Mohawk, and they say, "Oh, why did you change your
it's
mind?"
Moose.
Sorry,
Moose
Camp
Jaw.
Camp Moose Jaw. And they say, why did you change your mind? And Claudia says,
how many summers am I going to have with my best friends?
Fewer than
and
you
it's
think.
An open-ended question, and we think we haven't done the calculation, but we think it's probably about 100.
It's approaching 100. Like,
yeah,
some blog is gonna have to like analyze the text to like watch
how many Halloween hop dances
like,
there are.
Bill Murray,
answers exactly.
Jeopardy questions,
yeah,
to figure out exactly how many times they've repeated the same year over and over again.
Yeah,
but
it's a lot.
It's a disconcertingly large number of years.
It's going to be awkward if they do that with the video novels, when the actors are like 27.
Yeah,
but they're still repeating the eighth grade.
Well, we know that they have this power.
Yeah,
they've unlocked some kind of infernal art. The crew behind the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah,
because they're currently trying to do it to you.
Right, exactly.
Lock you and Amber. So I think it's only a matter of time before they do it to Sochi, Malia.
Right, okay.
Shay.
Right. Yeah, Omana. Well, and me if I'm on the show, hopefully, and you and as Pete Black.
Sophie. Mark.
God. And Mark.
Get out while you still can, Mark.
God bless him. Is it
flee
okay to...
Flee to Quibi, Mark. Flee to Quibi.
Do you think it's too forward based on our one conversation to refer to him as our best friend?
I felt that way after we spoke to him.
Yeah.
So I don't
think he feels that way too.
Yeah, I think so too. He genuinely seemed to have a very good time, and maybe he says that to all the people who interview him, but
yeah.
I feel like we really, really had a real connection.
Yeah.
We can ask him about that later when we talk to him.
Great. That's perfect.
Mark, are you feeling this?
Are you feeling this? That's a good interview question anyway, and I'm going to put it in my arsenal of just like boilerplate questions to like get the conversation going. Are you feeling this?
That's just good. Like immediately put someone on their back foot.
I think so. I would love to take a break.
Okay.
And then we can dive further into this text.
Okay.
Okay. Goodbye. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp.
Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jack,
yeah.
Mark, welcome back. I want to talk, Mark, we want to talk
Mark
to you about...
Mark is not here.
Okay, Jack, I want to talk to you about Mark.
Okay.
In his part on the show, he plays Watson Brewer, and I have a segment called Watchin' Watson.
It's called...
Watson Watson.
Watson Watson.
It's not hard to say.
Yeah, it's what happens when you take a really good segment name like Watchin' Watson and then completely unnecessarily twist it.
Doesn't rhyme.
Okay.
With Watson. Watchin' yeah. Watson.
Watchin' Watson. Yeah.
Watchin' mm-hmm. Watson, 1 minute 32 mark, beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Batgirl says the following line.
Mm-hmm.
Six generations of brewers have been married in this room.
Yeah.
It's like the auditorium in Watson's house.
In Watson's house, yeah. It's very nice.
The
it looks
solarium.
Like I'd be proud to have my wedding there.
Is this where Watson married Lisa?
Why didn't we ask Mark that? That's such a good question. Did Watson also marry Lisa on that very spot? Oh.
Did Watson and Lisa get married here?
What
in this
a good
room?
Question. Yeah.
And that's difficult to think about, isn't
so,
it?
So, six generations, but more than six weddings.
Six plus weddings.
At least seven weddings.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
difficult
a good question.
To think about.
If we ever get Batgirl on the show,
yeah, I don't think we are because we.
I think we should. Here's why. I'm a vegan. Batgirl, the actor who plays Batgirl, Alicia Silverstone, is a vegan.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm gonna reach out through the vegan underworld and see if I can get her that way.
Yeah.
But if we ever get her on the show, that's what we'll hold her feet to the fire on.
Yeah.
Where it's like, how did you feel getting married to Watson on the same fucking spot that Lisa also did her first kiss with Watson?
How does that feel?
After they haven't,
I don't think they've really brought up Lisa or Seth on the show yet.
No, they're trying to erase them.
Lisa erasure, yeah.
Yeah, it's Lisa and
they
Seth erasure.
They don't want us thinking about it.
They don't want us thinking about it. They said six generations, aren't
seven weddings.
Yeah, wow. Very weird. Very weird that this is the spot that Watson definitely married Lisa as well. And then you know what else is weird, Jack?
Yeah, what?
The under whose authority this wedding took place.
Okay.
One, Morbid of Destiny performed the rites.
She's the
to
official.
Marry Watson to Batgirl.
Yeah.
And it makes me, and she opens the ceremony by saying, so she opens the ceremony with Karen screaming in terror.
Yeah.
And she says,
this little girl thinks I'm a witch. So in front of this room full of witnesses, I would like to say that she's right.
Yeah.
So
which
I'm
is
wondering
awesome.
Under what sort of like flag or whose divine authority.
Oh, yes.
Watson and Batgirl are getting married.
Well, can I bring something to bear on that?
Satan's? Because I think witches are the brides of Satan.
Well, she makes a point of saying that they're not, and that she says specifically that historically a witch has been used as a pejorative term to refer to women who don't conform to society's expectations or who they should be. We got a lot of witches here, she says. And then everyone goes...
Yeah.
Because they snap, which is cool.
Yeah.
And, but let me throw this out at you. At the 22-minute and 32-second mark, Watson and Batgirl are leaving in... limo.
Uh-huh.
And the license plate of the limo is NYX 642. NYX 642. NYX Tanner. is the Greek goddess of the night.
Okay.
So maybe that's whose auspices?
That's the divine presence overseeing these nuptials.
It's the goddess of the night.
Okay. And Batgirl's sort of...
And Batgirl... was Batgirl born in the darkness?
That's Bane.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Close. She just adopted it.
Batgirl adopted the darkness.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. But still yeah. Pretty cool.
Bane was born in the darkness,
right.
Molded by it. He didn't see light until he was already a man. Yeah.
Right.
What about the 642 part? You didn't do any research?
Luke 642 is it's the one about the plank and the speck. Don't cast the plank out of your brother's eye until you've cast the speck out of your own eye.
Yes. Okay.
You know,
hard to see where the meaning of that one can.
I do my research. I didn't have anything to bring to bear on it except
the Night Queen is good.
The Night Queen is good.
So that's who Morbid of Destiny. That's.
I mean, maybe it's about you. It's about you criticizing witches.
I would almost say that. That could have been the moniker that the ghostwriter of this episode was going for, but the ghostwriter of this episode
hiding
is already
undercover of night.
Okay, you think there was a ghostwriter other than Rachel, and that ghostwriter has decided to conceal their identity?
It's possible. I mean, as you did, I watched the credits of the show avidly to see who the ghostwriter was, and they didn't say.
It said Rachel.
Oh, it said Rachel.
It said this episode written by Rachel Shuker. Okay.
Well, avidly then is the wrong way of describing how I watched the credits of this episode.
Not avid,
yeah, distractedly. Yeah. So, right, the hand of God did this one.
The hand of God did this one, and maybe the clue she's giving us is that the God that she is the hand of, is the what was her name? The Night Queen?
Nyx.
Yes.
Yeah. That could be right. The hand of the Night Queen sounds pretty cool. Maybe we gotta change it.
All right, you're
all right, Rachel.
We're renewing your vows, Rachel.
Now we know which god you're the hand of. We're gonna update.
We're re-entering you into the pantheon. You are Rachel Shuchert,
the
hand of the Night Queen.
Of the Night Queen. That sounds so fucking cool. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. Congratulations to us for having figured it out.
Yep.
Rachel Shuchert, the hand of the Night Queen, did write this episode, and we're glad to have her back. Tanner, let me ask you this question. Oh, okay. Enter Nyx.
Exit light, fear the spear. Off to never land. Is it okay to introduce an entirely new segment intro to Fear the Spear?
Yeah, I love it. Now we're talking about Fear the Spear. We did
8/10 of the way into an episode, into a series.
Yeah, I love it. Fear the Spear is a segment where we talk about what Richard Spear got up to this week. He was killing it this week. He did a number of things that I really liked. The thing that he did
very relatable this week.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that he did that I liked the most was at the 9:15 mark where he handed his shirt to Marianne and said,
"Does this shirt smell like meat?"
That is a concern of yours. You would hate to show up to an event
vegan
and smell like meat, right?
She smells the shirt and it cuts away before she could say one way or the other, because I was like, I need to know.
Yeah.
But why would his shirt smell like meat?
Why would his shirt smell like meat? He also...
That's one of many reasons to fear the spear.
They do a cutaway joke and Richard walks into Marianne's room and he says...
Knock, knock, knock. Which of these do you prefer?
At the 9:02 mark.
Yeah.
He's holding up two identical white shirts, and that's literally me every time I like dress for any kind of like formal occasion. I just pull one of the 8 white shirts out of my closet. I'm just like, I don't know which one to wear. More often than not, and Jamie can attest to this, I will often completely forget to pack a white shirt when I go to like a wedding and have to scramble once I get there and go to like JCPenney and buy a new white shirt. So 90% of my supply of fancy button-down white shirts are stuff I bought at the last second right before a wedding.
It's the best way to do it.
Oh, and then Fear of the Spear also has anxiety around the fact that Sharon is not showing up to the wedding, and he gets drunk.
He drinks a third of a glass of champagne.
Yeah.
He says, possibly one of my favorite moments in the episode, he's like super anxious that Sharon isn't there, and he's worried that his like sending himself to her in his turtle form didn't win her over and maybe backfired. And so he decides he needs a drink, and he's like, I need a drink. Do you all want Marion?
Yeah, he's and like in that same segment, he says, the turtle was a mistake, and Marianne's like, what turtle?
What turtle?
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's good
he's
work.
He's very good in this episode, and congratulations, Mr. Spear.
Should we do our burns? Should we do our burns of the week?
Yeah, I would love to do burns.
I said it loud because I knew you were going to say it quiet because I know your child just went to bed.
I got close to the mic.
Yeah, and I said
burn
it loud.
Of the week.
It's our burn of the week. It's a segment in the show where we talk about the burns that were in the book, and there are a couple of good ones this week, so I'd love for you to start.
2 minute, 25 second mark.
Okay.
Watson, Charlie, Sam pull up in a new BMW that Watson bought for Charlie.
Watson buys a... So one of the driving plots of this video novel is that Christy and Batgirl are having trouble adjusting from a thrifty middle-class lifestyle to a rich millionaire Watson lifestyle.
Yep.
And that's the big
fight that
happens.
And Watson
wants
to shower them all in gifts.
Yeah, and so he's constantly buying them nice gifts, and Christy and her and Batgirl. I keep forgetting her name. It's so easy. It's
Batgirl.
A girl who's a bat.
It's the girl who played Batgirl.
And they have a fight because Christy like is kind of squandering some of Watson's resources, and Batgirl is like, I don't want to raise a daughter who's like flipping about money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Now continue.
And that's not part of my burn.
No.
Watson buys Charlie a car, a BMW SUV. Charlie comes out of the driver's seat and he says, Mom, look at my new BMW SUV. It's got four cylinders, like all cars. And it's got a Hemi. It's fuel injected. Yeah. And he says,
Mom, I want my whole life to smell like this.
Yeah.
And Batgirl says,
well, you better start changing your sheets more often.
That's good.
And the burn is that he smells bad, and that's not the first time in this video novel series.
Oh, right, that Charlie has been accused of smelling bad.
Accused of smelling bad, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's now, like, canon that Charlie
that the boys
and Sam
smell bad.
Smell bad, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then later in the episode, Batgirl says to Christy that Christy is her favorite, and
right.
She expects more from Christy than the boys, and I think that's probably because of the boys' smell.
That's because the boy smells so
fucking
bad. It's going to
close a lot of doors for them.
Yeah.
They're going to lose a lot of opportunities for their bad smell.
I think that's accurate, though. Sam does do a dance with Stacy.
Yes, they do a dance. Stacy is pining after Toby.
Sam asks her to dance, and she forgets Toby's name in that moment.
In true Stacy fashion.
And that's the last we'll ever hear of him.
Yep.
Until the Friends Forever
they do
books.
The Friends Forever video books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also a plot line when I was researching Stacey's boyfriend for our interview with Shay and
last week.
Mimona last week.
We recorded yesterday.
That we recorded yesterday.
We recorded 5 podcasts in the last 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to keep track of it all. and like 2 more in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
You'll get a week off when you move, so you can worry about the stress of that instead. I was reminded of the fact that Toby does reappear in a Sea City novel where he like goes after Mallory.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's like a creep.
It's so creepy.
Yeah. That is, yeah, that's weird. It's not, but that's like a different Toby too.
Yeah.
That's the books Toby. The video novel Toby is a completely different Toby.
Yeah.
It's Toby Ziegler.
It's Toby Ziegler. Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, they got Richard Toby Schiff Ziegler to from the West Wing. Mark Feuerstein had been in the West Wing as
yes!
a lawyer.
God, and let's ask him about that
we
later.
Should, that's great. That's a great note. I'll remember to ask him
that's
about it.
That's my favorite TV
later
show.
When we do the interview.
What was it like playing that one sort of like sharky, I think, Republican
yeah. He's a Republican attorney. Lawyer who's like in classic Aaron Sorkin form. Like has a heart of gold somehow.
Yeah. Very funny. Yeah.
Yes, that's Dang. Who he was.
Let's ask him about that.
We'll definitely ask him about that. But so that's probably how he got Toby Ziegler to be CCD
Toby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a perfect episode. It's a perfect casting.
Yep. What was your burn?
Here's my burn. It's at the 5-minute and 24-second mark, and it is a self-burn by Christy. So the first dress that Christy tries on is a yellow dress that, like, I think Nanny has chosen for her for some reason.
Yeah.
And that's the source of the fight. Like, she ends up, like, casting that dress aside for another very expensive Vera Wang number. She's trying on the yellow dress, and she doesn't look great in it. And then Watson says...
I think you look great.
And Christy says...
The only person in the world that thinks I look great is Curious George before he tries to eat me.
That was very good. And then a second later, the lady who's like helping her, she's like...
The fit is perfect. It's like a glove.
And Christy says...
Or a peel.
Or a peel, yeah.
This is very good. Christy's on her A game this week.
Yeah.
She did a great job. Then Watson and Batgirl get married. It was a beautiful ceremony. Everyone was there, Jack, including one guy in one scene. And I just have this to say to you and to Walter Media and to Baby Nation.
Yeah.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have
made this fucking part.
Yeah.
And it's when Christy is leaving the ceremony after having her first period.
Yeah.
To catch up with Batgirl to say goodbye to her.
Yeah.
And as she's shoving her way through the crowd, seeing Watson and Batgirl off, everyone has sparklers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're waving their sparklers at Batgirl and Watson who are leaving in a limo. And there's one guy that Christy pushes past who's just way too into his sparkler.
Okay. Yeah.
He's just like looking at his sparkler. Whoa.
Yeah. He's forgotten that he's a wedding. He's lost in time. Just like,
I could have played that fucking part.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that.
I could have been a guy who's way too into his sparkler.
Yeah.
And that's not even a speaking role. So
come
I can
on,
definitely.
Guys.
That. Like, Christy literally shoves him because he's just like, oh. Like he sort of registers Christy shoving him, but his attention immediately goes back to the sparkler.
That's bullshit. There is a role that I could have played at the 10-minute and 55-second mark when Christy and Batgirl are having a big fight about the dress, and it gets pretty heated. And in that unfortunate moment, a man walks in to the room.
The, like, hairdresser.
Yeah, the hairdresser, and says,
"Honey, it's gown time."
And then Karen, it like cuts to Karen, and Karen does this very like,
Karen's just
like no, not
shakes
no.
her head. Yeah. I could have said that.
Yeah, that could have been you.
Guys,
dang,
come
cast
on.
Cast us in this dang show already.
Put us in the show.
So many parts that we're perfect for.
We're perfect for. Walden and that could be greater. My catchphrase. Honey, it's game time. And then people would be saying that on the internet.
That's
honey,
good.
It's game time.
Yeah. Hashtag HIGT.
Yeah. Come on.
That's great. That could be the new Washington football teams. I saw. So Jack is a fan of the Washington football team, which is what they're called now.
And it's not and problematic anymore.
It's
so
not problematic
you can't make
anymore,
fun of me anymore.
But because Jack is a fan of the Washington football team.
Yeah,
our joint Babysitters Club Twitter account follows.
Does it
a number of Washington football team accounts? And I saw recently that they were looking for new hashtag suggestions.
Okay. For so the, honey, like, it's team game hashtags. Time would be great.
And maybe honey, it's game time is a good one for them.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I love, by the way, I love Washington football team, and I love how like much they've embraced it, and they're like selling Washington football team merch. I think it's so funny.
It's they're so just Washington.
Like, whatever.
It's like
we're the Washington football team.
After years of deadlock on this issue, we've finally settled on something that is like so anodyne. So unprogressive and so unexciting. That it could only have come out of Washington.
Washington football team. I mean, it's way better than what it was, but
it's way better than what it was.
Jack, before we go,
yeah,
one last question for you.
Yeah,
did you cry?
Okay, all right. Okay, this is a tough question because I did cry a number of times in this video novel. It's a very tear-inducing video novel, and it's also tough. A tough question because you and I have decreed and decided that in discussing the video novels, we will not, during the tearful moments, we will not use as a crutch the audio from the video novels. We will try to recreate the emotional experience for our listeners ourselves.
And we want you to come along on the journey that we came along on.
Yeah, using our words and using
our emotions. Yeah, we're a conduit.
And so the moment that I found particularly...
Crisome?
The moment that I found particularly crisome, and that's a great way of saying it, is the moment where Christy realizes during the wedding that she's been shitty to Batgirl. Yes. And that Batgirl has her own feelings and emotions.
Very touching moment, and it ties nicely into my tearful moment. So. Okay.
And it's at the 14-minute and 20-second mark, but that doesn't matter because I'm gonna do the work that Rachel did for our listeners right now. And Christy says the following thing, and here's the realization that she comes to. She says, parents are more inclined.
Are you doing Joker?
Does that sound like Joker?
A little bit at the beginning, it was like parents are
okay.
More
well, that's
inclined.
Not sad. That's scary. So can I try again?
Yep.
Parents are more inclined to have...
You doing Bane?
Okay.
Because you went high that time. You're like, parents are more inclined.
What can I do to make this work for you?
I don't know why you're doing Batman villains.
Okay. I'm just going to say it like I would say it.
Okay.
Parents are more inclined to have an... What she says is that parents are more inclined to have an emotional reaction that's triggered by a nostalgic impulse.
Yes.
Doubtless because of their advanced years.
Yeah.
But now here I was, says Christy, and this isn't a direct quote, it's how I remember it, indulging in that same neurochemical response.
Yes.
Triggered by my mother's own past experience. Specifically, her longing for companionship, which had now become obviated by the presence of a suitable mate or partner, and that's Watson. And then it was, she says, and then it was in that moment that my face was and became wet, and I had a wet face now, she said, a wet face and a face that was wet. And
wet ass face.
She said was wet and had a wet ass.
It's a Cardi
face.
B song.
Did that make you cry as well, that moment?
It made me cry as well.
Yeah.
Christy tries all night to catch up to Batgirl and to have words with her. They cannot connect. Batgirl's too get busy getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Christy menstruates and then flees from the house when she realizes that Batgirl's limo is leaving. She thinks she's missed her, but the limo stops.
Yeah.
And Batgirl comes out and she says, I love you. You're my whole heart. And Christy says, Mom, I menstruated.
That's nice.
For the first time in my life. And Batgirl said to her, Wow.
Wow.
I have to go, so I can't help you.
Yeah.
And the Babysitter's Club girls were there.
They're and all they there!
Said, don't worry, Batgirl. We helped Christy with her menstruation. And yeah. Batgirl said, of course, you always do.
You always do. And they're there for each other.
Oh, and it was so touching.
It's so beautiful.
It made me cry so much.
Yeah.
What a beautiful moment, Jack. What a beautiful episode, Jack.
What a beautiful video novel. What a
and what
text.
A beautiful conversation we're about to have with Mark Feuerstein, if I remember correctly.
And now, babies and gentlemen.
Now.
And now, babies and gentlemen, this is our interview with the great Watson himself, Mark Feuerstein.
Mark, welcome to the show.
Yeah, no.
First question I have for you.
No, no. I'm going to cut
away.
Were
there tutors on set?
How did you do school?
How did you do school?
This is the interview. Here it is. It's happening.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you so much. Let me turn on my video.
Hello.
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 First question right off the bat, did they let you keep Watson's mansion?
Yes.
From the show. And is that where you're filming from?
Yes. It was a cool part of the deal. Netflix isn't often prone to giving locations to characters, but in my case, they made an exception, gave me the house, and I'm pretty psyched. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it seems. I can see behind you. It seems like, you know, the palatial estates of Watson. We were talking to some of the girls, and they say they get to keep the outfits that the babysitters get dressed.
Do they get to keep some of them?
That's what we were told. Maybe they shouldn't have told us that. Maybe they were sneaking outfits off set.
That's one of the great secrets of being an actor is some of the free stuff. And I have myself walked off with quite a number of Fury shirts and jackets from Royal Pains, a show I did for a while. But I'm just trying to imagine our friend who plays Claudia Kishi walking into school in some of those quite dramatic outfits.
It was Mamona who did say that she walked off with some red pants that Claudia wore on the show.
Well, so. I'm so glad, and I only hope she walked right into school in them like the badass that she is.
Yes. Mark Feuerstein, thank you for coming on our podcast. We're so excited to have you.
Oh my God, I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
You play our favorite character on the show, and it's not just because we're two middle-aged dads.
You poor things. I get it. I am a middle-aged dad myself. My two kids are right back there, quiet,
right,
stalling, so we can go to the beach after my podcast.
Right before you got on, my son was screaming, crying in the next room, so I totally understand having kids.
My son is currently screaming and crying in the next room, but my wife's on the case at the moment. So
nice.
It's nap time, which is sort of like screaming time.
Well, you look like you have a high-tech system set up to fend off any noise interference, which is smart.
All of this sound baffling is not for my audio. It's just to keep the screams of my child off of the podcast.
Smart. Yeah. I need one of those. If you can come over and install that, that would be great.
So you have, how old are your kids, if I could ask?
I have two of the three with me.
Okay.
My oldest is Lila. She's 14 years old. My middle is Frisco. He's 12. And then my youngest is actually the one who loved the book series,
oh, cool,
The Babysitter's Club, and who made the offer I got to do Watson Brewer a no-brainer. Because she loved it so much that she actually organized her own babysitter's club when she was like 8.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which was a little early in the game
to
be babysitting a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So
most of the charges in the books are 8. So
yeah, exactly. So we pretended she was really in charge while having a battery of parents and nannies in the next room.
See, that's a better solution. There's actually a little sister, which is the Babysitter's Club for Young Readers. I'm sure you know that. But there's a little sister plot line where Karen goes around handing out Babysitter's Club flyers. And then when the parents call up and she shows up at the door at 7, it's like a total disaster. But I think that her parents handle it way worse than you do. They just like teach her a lesson by being like, sure, I guess you have this job.
And you're failing at it.
I'm thrilled to hear about Karen. It's called, what is the name of that book series?
The book series is Babysitter's Little Sister.
Babysitter's Little Sister. That's right. Yeah. I am tracking that because it's my daughter who's at the center of that. And I'm just thinking, guys, I don't know where all of this is going. Haven't even heard about season two, nothing. But I don't know.
You're thinking what I'm thinking, I assume, maybe Quibi. We do like mini episodes.
You read my mind. That's all I'm thinking. How can I truncate any potential job that is extensive with longer episodes and get it quibified?
Yeah.
So I can really put myself on the map.
And you're asking Jack and I to sign on as writers and producers.
100%.
Except,
100%.
Yep. We'd like to formally accept.
I actually have a buddy through a buddy who created a show on Quibi with Christoph Waltz, who just got nominated for an Emmy off his Quibi show. So we shouldn't be quibbling so much about it.
You know what? I think Christoph Waltz would be perfect for Seth, who is Watson's ex-wife's new husband. He's kind of a very mysterious character. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like a whirlwind of characters that I was not aware of coming into my life. Yeah. I could see that. Like when I'm resentful, I imitate Christoph Waltz to his face. And so what's the problem? You couldn't spend enough money on the dates when you were taking her out? Well, maybe she should be back with me. We should have a polygamous situation. That's just a scene from Babysitter's Little Sister season two.
That's great.
We got to fast track this. I really like this. And there are 200 of these books. So there are plenty of plot lines. It's usually Karen ruining Watson's life in some way or another.
Great. I'm sympathetic. Like in the pilot of Babysitter's Club, the official one that is real, that exists,
mm-hmm.
for my wild imagination, Christy Thomas is so rough on me. I feel like it helps my sympathies a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? She's pretty tough on me.
Yeah, she's tough throughout. At some point in the book, she softens.
Yes.
But so far, we've almost finished a series. It hasn't happened yet in the Netflix show. So that's
right.
Rough. Yeah.
Right. No, yes. I won't ruin anything for you, but she comes around. I mean,
she comes around.
Come on. Good. Come on, what are you going to hold a grudge on this guy too long?
So did you read some Babysitter's Club books in preparation? I guess you had read them with your daughter, or so you kind of knew about the world?
I had read them with my daughter. I reread some of them with her when I got the part. But I was really thrilled to see how Rachel Schuchert and Lucia Agnello updated what was in the books. And let's be honest, I think it was more the graphic novels than the more extensive text.
Yeah.
So the abridged of a children's book.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was able to achieve. You're talking to a guy who was familiar with Cliffs and Monarch.
Wow. Okay. They made a real mistake not using our podcast as the sort of urtext.
Yeah. I really feel like this should have just been the canonical text.
Yeah.
We get into some pretty like deep theory stuff too, you know?
Yeah.
We're pretty convinced that the entire thing is bees.
Yeah, they never explicitly say that the girls are human women.
That's amazing. By the way, let's make that animated series, fellas. Come on.
So you're somewhat familiar with the books or at least the graphic novels. You, as a middle-aged man like us, I'm very curious to hear your answer to this, because we've been asking everyone, including all the young women who play the babysitters, and their answers are fairly straightforward, but I'm curious what babysitter you think you are.
Ah, by the way, that is so nice as your first question to throw me a softball like that, because I have to say I'm coming off of a quiz on one of the many little rounds of interviews we did when we were publicizing the show, and I crushed my quiz. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how. I just got the asked the right questions that I knew. So I can only go down, and I expect to. So thank you for starting with a softball.
This is going to get a lot more challenging.
Oh God.
Our second question is going to be name all 9 of Stacey's boyfriends in order.
By the way, anytime I don't know the answer and you do, we yeah. have other questions, Stacey. Fellas.
We know okay. everything
so,
about these books.
I would say I'm going to get a little, like, I'm going to use this as an opportunity for therapy, which I, having 3 kids, haven't afforded to pay for myself in quite a while. So thank you for this. Here. I would say I am a Christie most of all, because I always like sort of being in charge, but I am also the and I can be resentful maybe a little the way Christie can when things are, you know, getting away from me. This is something I'm not going to get too far into, but there was a moment at Burning Man where I was somehow stuck with an entire group of, like, the bizarro group of my friends, and my place was taken. The funny guy, the yeah. clown of the group, and I just kept watching that guy be funny and just stand there like, That's all I have. Okay. Yeah, he's funny.
You should try doing a podcast with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, we could compare notes on our various universes. But who is the class clown of the group? Would Claudia be the closest thing?
There's a late babysitter who comes in very late in the text called Abby.
Oh, she's more of a comedian.
She's a comedian. She's got comedian. Like a tight 20 every week.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So she's definitely the class clown character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I would say Christy. I'm just going to stick with Christy. It's a little like straight down the middle, but that it like I was the guy who was trying to build a resume in high school to get into a good college, and then build a resume to get into a good law school, and then somewhere along the way I found acting. But yeah, Christy's like, you know, control freak.
Yeah, and you're
it's a good answer.
You were an athlete too in school, high school, right? I'm a journalist, so I perused your Wikipedia page.
Look at like a real professional. Jack is done. Jack.
But did you used to wrestle?
I was a wrestler. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, Jack, nice. Wrestled. That's the only reason he brought it up.
No, that's why I brought it up.
Shop. Well, we know how much it appeals to the female demographic who watches the Babysitter's Club.
That's right. Yeah.
Is watching Men in Tights.
All right. What's your guys' favorite wrestling moves?
I will answer that, Tanner. Yeah. Crazy guy.
Yeah.
The guillotine.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I would stick the legs in and then pull the arm behind.
That's nice.
Scoop that head and just pull on that guy.
Yeah.
And it was the French Revolution all Sounds over painful. Again, buddy.
I like a double arm bar, and then you just kind of ratchet it around until you got them all on their back. Yeah.
Where did you wrestle, Jack?
I wrestled for a very small all-boys Catholic school in D.C. So I was
not... What was it called?
St. Anselm's Abbey School.
Okay. I remember it was Gonzaga in D.C.
Gonzaga, yeah. We used to wrestle them a little bit, yeah.
So I went to the Nationals.
Yeah, the prep, National Prep.
Moment. It may sound like a humble brag, and it will be. Don't worry, because I won the New York State private school state championship.
Okay.
But then it was big fish in small pond to big pond when I went to the Nationals. Wrestled a guy from Gonzaga who was amazing. By the way, again, this is all fascinating to our viewers.
It's so fascinating to me.
won.
They'll love it.
And then lost to a freshman from New Jersey.
That's winning a match in national preps is something. It's something
Thank
to do.
You, Jack.
Yeah,
God,
I'm impressed.
This is such good therapy.
Jack, how many times did you go to National Preps?
I went twice.
Do you do this every week?
Yeah, this is so good for me.
Around this time honestly, is good for me. I don't know how your schedule is.
We've got all these questions prepared. Yeah, I went to National Preps twice, Tanner. Thank you for asking. I did win
Holy
one
cow.
Match one year.
Yeah. And what?
I did win a match one year.
Yeah,
but that was luck of the draw. Luck of the draw.
But those are intense. I mean, that's the big pond right there.
Yeah. We will stop talking about this, but it's a hugely important part of my life because I when I was in ninth grade, I was 93 pounds, but the coach persuaded me to join the team anyway. And I wrestled at like 10 pounds beneath the highest weight class. And the confidence I got from being like a scrawny kid, but like, you know, you can be scrawny and wrestle.
Those guys are badasses. Like, because it's just like, how are you compared to guys in your weight class? Yeah. So it narrows the field in a way, and I can see, I love wrestling. I loved it. The guys were all much less meathead and more artistic and smart, cooler than you would think, but I still love Vision Quest.
Vision Quest is a classic.
Forever. Yeah. Come on.
All right, let's do another podcast, just you and me, where we talk about high school wrestling. I would really love that.
I'm sure all the 14-year-old girls will tune right in.
Tanner and I have some questions prepared for you. We have a hit segment on our show, which is called Dad Talk.
Yep.
And as a dad, as a professional dad, and as one who plays a professional dad on TV, we're hoping that your wisdom, either your personal wisdom or the wisdom that you've gained through the eyes of Watson, can help us with some of our dad questions. Our kids are only, my kid is 2.5. And Tanner's child is what?
Mine is 15 months.
Oh my
so
God.
We're
so
still
great timing on the quarantine for you.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, it's ideal.
The best. Just what you needed.
So with your permission, we'd like to present you with some of our parenting dilemmas and just if you could help us work them out.
Yeah. Nice. And we're both great admirers of Watson.
Yeah.
So if you can channel Watson and help us kind of like get through some of these difficult
situations. What
would
Watson
do?
Yeah.
That is what I'm here for. I got my therapy. I feel good about myself. Now let me give back.
Please, awesome.
Thank you.
Bring it on.
All right. I'm going to start. So my child often gets a wide-eyed look and will point at something behind me. It's always at the same place in the house. He'll point at something behind me and he says, "Who is that guy?" And then when I turn around, there's no one there. Mm-hmm. what should I do?
Is that, oh my God.
What is happening?
Okay.
Have you ever had
an
experience
all,
like this?
Now, luckily, we're talking about it outside the presence of your child.
Yeah.
And we can say that there could be some issues.
Yeah.
But barring that possibility, I was a big proponent of rye. I don't know if you guys have heard of rye, which is a sort of technique. It's resources for infant educaring. It comes from Hungary. A woman named Magda Gerber founded it. And it was really amazing for us because it just gave us a point of view on how to interact with our child when Lila, our oldest, was so little and you just don't have words. You don't know what to do with a baby when they're barely even verbal.
Yeah.
And so one tool, which maybe you've heard of, is sports casting, where you just reflect back to them what they're experiencing. So you're not judging, you're not taking a spin on it, you're not in any way trying to shape their experience, you're just reflecting it back to them.
Okay.
And I feel like that was always truly a great way to approach it, because you could go from there anywhere with them leading you, rather than, you know, saying, "No, there's no one there," which would obviously be terrible. Or saying, "Yeah, there's the clown who's got the big red nose," which is also leading them down your own imagination path.
You
just say, "Oh, you see someone there. You see someone behind me."
Okay.
Here's my worry is, does Rye address at all like actual instances of paranormal activity?
Because Yes, it does.
That could be happening here.
Magda Gerber, who created this method in an orphanage in Hungary, was actually an alien being. That works out great. She's got a whole chapter. It actually is identical to a chapter in the Book of Scientology, weirdly. So you know, you buy either one.
Perfect.
I'm just going to buy both for good coverage.
So the answer is read Hungarian children's literature and get better at interacting with my child. And also, there are aliens in my home.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Or just sing the Bulgarian folk tune that I learned in college with my parents' money spending on that curriculum. Dasto mile,
mielo e mai mui. Oh, you still got it.
Blago, da ida ida e mai mui, da ida.
How much of that was made up and how much of that?
Wow. That was gorgeous.
Fully real. Learned it in college at Princeton University so my parents could just shep nachas and pride.
That's
that
awesome.
Their $40,000 went to me learning a language that sounds like the Hebrew I already knew, but was different.
All right, great. I have a question as well.
Bring it on, Tanner. I've been waiting for this for weeks.
My son Miles is 15 months old. He only seems capable of making friends with dogs. He's not speaking yet, but he has learned how to bark like a dog, and he often chases dogs around the park, and he barks at them. I think we're at a crossroads because he's still at kind of a developmental stage where we can go one of two directions. We can keep raising him as a human child, or we can go dog.
And go potentially full raise dog. Him as a dog.
And I'm just wondering, from your sort of like expertise, what are some of the pros and cons of both approaches?
Tanner, great question. Yeah, I can see that you're approaching parenthood with great sensitivity.
Yeah, I'm trying to be open, you know, as much as possible.
It's wonderful.
Open
that
to new experiences.
You are so dexterous and flexible that you could go dog if you so choose.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound crazy. We're a dog family. I mean, we have three rescues, Shiloh, Maddie, Millie. And so if Miles wants to commune with the canines, who are you to stop him?
Okay.
And if that is his choice, and he wants to be like Mowgli, your little Miles Mowgli.
It's close.
Mildly. Yeah. He may be the next, you know, Mowgli. And
it sounds like you're saying you think we shouldn't get involved at all and maybe just turn him over fully to the dogs.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. I would hate to influence
him. I'm saying
him in like ways of humanity.
Let him commune with the dogs. Let him live with the dogs for just a couple of years and see what comes back to you.
I love that idea. It would certainly help us get a lot more work done.
Yeah. And by the way, this is the years, it's hard to communicate, tough on the marriage. Couple years later, boom, back. See what you get. Now, is he barking? Is he speaking French bulldog? You know what I mean? Does he know other languages? Because you've let him immerse himself in another bi-doglingual situation.
Yeah.
This is good
That's
stuff,
great.
Tanner.
That's great advice. Thank you.
Yeah. Give up your kid.
Yeah. Okay. This is a famous story on our show, but I'll try to make it fairly brief. My child did not learn to sleep in a meaningful way for the first year of his life,
which
meant
rough.
That I was a not a normal, sane human being for most of 2018. As
I'm
Tanner
so
can
sorry.
Attest.
Yeah.
So one day after one of these particularly sleepless nights, I took Cyril is the name of my boy. I took him to the park and there were a bunch of kids playing with trucks with their nannies. And so I brought him over to play with the kids. And all the nannies were just like not having it. They were not interested in me being a part of this in any way. And basically just like made us go away by like being really cold.
Both you and Cyril.
Both
were
me and Cyril, but it was about me. I realized later when I stopped to use the bathroom that the probable reason for this is that I had forgotten to zip up, button, or belt my shorts when leaving the house.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome to fatherhood.
Yeah. So I get, my question is, first of all, do I get a pass on this? And second of all, have you ever embarrassed yourself as a dad, or are you a perfect dad?
Oh my God, Jack, that sort of thing? Thank you. Thank you for all of that. It was a beautifully crafted question. There was so many highlights and information.
It was a roller coaster for me in experiencing it. Yeah.
First of all, you do get a pass.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. You are in the hot zone. I mean, 1 to 5, all bets are off. This is where marriages go awry, relationships, friendships. You got caught with your pants down, quite literally, and that's okay. That's a part of fatherhood.
That's what I wanted to hear.
And you. I do have a moment to share with you. I think my kids were, it was, you know how they say, you're in it, man. You're in it. I was in it. It was like, you know, one kid was maybe 3, one kid was 1.5 years, and one kid was 4 months. We're on a plane. I'm holding, I think it was Lila, could have been Frisco. Full vomit, full barf situation on my shirt. I don't have another shirt. The other two are dancing around and flailing in the aisles. And so if you had been on that JetBlue flight in the economy section, you would have seen me with that crappy blanket, that thin felt blanket wrapped around me like a shawl because I had no other shirt, the stench of vomit in the air, holding one child, another falling out of my grasp, and you would have not been impressed.
The first time that my child vomited on me on an airplane, it made me tear up at the time. Well, everything did, because I wasn't sleeping. I'm not a particularly emotional person. But there was another dad sitting across the aisle from me. He had his 3-year-old sitting next to him, and he was the only person who saw it happen. I was just completely covered in vomit, and he just opened his bag and reached out wipes and just handed me wipes silently. We never interacted other than that, except for when I said thank you to him at the end. But it was this wonderful moment of dad solidarity where it was just yep, I've been there.
It's amazing. It was really nice. That's a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk a lot about women being there for women, but you know, men can be there for men too.
Yeah.
And
you should find that guy, Jack.
Little moment of solidarity. And I love that you thanked him. And
I thanked him and
our
wept.
Dads never, our dads didn't hand over wipes. Our dads didn't have wipes on them.
My dad was a very loving, is a very loving father, but was a very loving father to me growing up. When I had a kid, I realized in a way that I'd never thought about it, that he'd never changed a diaper in his life. It just wasn't the way that it was going. So.
And my parents, just the sound of the crying, it's anathema. They don't get that. That's, you have to inure yourself to that sound.
Yeah.
To be in the mix, in the game. But they just sends them off, you know? I mean, and it could kill any relationship. I mean, it's like a flag at a drag race to just start the fights, right?
I mean,
any fight can begin with the sound of that crying.
Yeah, especially if you haven't slept in 8 months.
Yeah, but we luckily were born into the generation. Who needs the madmen, right?
Yeah.
We got to be involved. We got to have shit on our fingers. Lucky us.
Well, and especially the last 5 or 6 months. Which leads me to my next question.
Yes, Tanner. The first one was a doozy, so I'm excited.
I live in a small 2-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn, New York.
Well, now you're going to have more room because Miles is with the dogs.
Space is very limited. And because of the current health crisis, we don't have regular childcare.
What health crisis?
Well, that's going to be the question. So having our son in our apartment, having to look after him all the time, it's really hurting my wife and I. It's really hurting our productivity. It's really hurting our patience. It's trying our patience in our marriage. Mark Feuerstein, what are your ideas for ending the COVID-19 crisis as quickly as possible?
Well, Tanner, I don't know. I think we mentioned it briefly, but I did play a doctor on television for 8 seasons. So,
well, and Watson's an insurance salesman, so he's like
between
those two things. Yeah,
I have both ends of the spectrum covered, and I'm going to play Dr. Anthony Fauci in the movie of the week when that gets me. Come on,
that's good casting.
Come on. Am I not throwing that opening pitch? Come on, you know I am. So the question was, how do we end this pandemic?
I think let's just workshop it now, here and now. Okay. Let's end this thing. I think, let's figure this out.
I think we just we go to Russia right now. They seem to have a very
vaccine, right?
Bona fide, officially tested, FDA approved vaccine at the ready.
Right.
We chug vodka on the way, and then we chug vaccine on the way,
Way back. That's perfect.
You know what I'm saying?
We're flush our system with the vodka
the whole way home.
Yeah,
but like some, you know, that's the scene in if National Lampoon's Family Vacation, but in like Christy Brinkley's, you know, drinking her Chardonnay, and we're just like, that's good, but this is pure vaccine, direct from Moscow. Slam. Break it on her face. What? No, this is a podcast for a kids show. Please, guys.
All of our listeners are in there.
We've got an explicit rating. So.
Yeah. I love it that your listeners were all just aggro, punk rock, weirdo for Babysitter's Club. That would be amazing.
Yeah. No, I think that's essentially what we're dealing with.
Is it a Trojan horse for the alt-right?
Yeah, that's coming in season 5. Yeah, exactly.
Love it. Well, by then we'll have Baby's Little Sister up and running, and I can reveal Watson's true identity.
Amazing. Okay, we're going to ask you just a couple more because you have to get to the beach, right? Is that what you guys are?
Oh, we're going to go to the beach.
That's
yes,
nice.
But
okay.
Please take your time. This is the highlight of my month, maybe year.
Okay, my child is obsessed with big Texas trucks. Even though he is only 2.5 years old, he can name them all.
Jack is in Texas.
I live in Texas. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just any kind of trucks, but it's like another modifier. They're big.
Are
Texas
you in
trucks
Austin, Texas?
I'm in Austin. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know Austin well.
I just felt you had
city
to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. You just had to be. You're, you know, the Richard Linkletter version of Texas.
Yeah. Exactly. Not literally.
Not the Bush or whatever version.
Yeah, I moved out here from Brooklyn a couple of years ago, and every single person I meet is like, "Oh yeah, me too."
So, yeah, love it.
Okay, so he can name every single truck. His favorite truck is the Ford F-150. He'll often surprise Ford F-150 drivers who have their windows open by being like, "That's a Ford F-150." So my question is, how do I get him excited about something that's more environmentally friendly, like a Prius or a bicycle? In Texas.
Well, if you were in LA, I would say that you should send your child to my son's school because he is as woke and PC as it gets.
Okay, good.
We'll be like shopping for a gift. He's right out there, but I'm just gonna keep going. We'll be shopping for like a gift for, you know, a girl in his class, her birthday, and I'll be like, "Hey, what about that pink sweater?" And he'll be like, "Dad, that's sexist and gender normative. I mean, she can wear whatever color." I'm like, "Right. Of course,
right.
Frisco, you're so enlightened. Thank you. But all I want to say is, shut up, you little shit. I'm spending my Saturday buying a present for your friend." But okay, you know, I think embrace the impressive and encyclopedic knowledge of trucks because that's cool.
It's cool, yeah.
And then just subtly, I don't know what the Rye people would say about subtly suggesting some hybrids in there, but maybe you buy some hybrid toy Priuses.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, are they out there?
Slowly,
like tough,
get them in there, and suddenly it's only Priuses and maybe a couple things from SpaceX.
That's good.
Keep Elon Musk happy in the mix.
Yeah,
Jack Cybertruck.
Yeah, that's cool.
Introducing the Cybertruck.
Oh my God, did you guys see that video when Elon Musk revealed that first version of the hybrid SUV?
Oh, right, yeah. And, like,
and he was testing the bulletproof windows, and the guy just threw a rock right in it, and it just went right through. It was the best.
Amazing.
It was the best. And there's just Sarah, Sarah with the egg on the face. Yeah.
Actually, amazing. Sarah would love that video for a number of reasons. Throwing rocks at cars, a cool truck. So that's the answer, is I'll just show him that on a loop.
Yeah. That's good. That's it.
Yeah, I noticed that the Watson character, the first thing I noticed about Watson is that he rides his bike to work, which I just really, it's like a cool touch on the character. He's like he's like a business guy, but he's also like the type of dude who rides his bike to work, which I love.
It was one of those weird things where you're more excited than you should be that you're getting to ride a bike for 4 seconds during a take of a scene.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's so brief. And yeah, you can ride your bike all day, buddy. But I am a huge bike rider. I love it. You know, while I would leave the set to rent a bike in Vancouver and just drive around the seawall and the whole city. So I do love that Watson is environmentally friendly and also just rides a bike, because I ride my bike in Manhattan, which is a little hairy, but I love, like, there's no greater feeling, and maybe this has to do with my Schadenfreude and we should return to the therapy couch, but ride, like, weaving in and out of traffic while people are just in standstill traffic in Manhattan and you're just flying downtown.
It's awesome. There's nothing like it. Feeling. Yeah, my bike riding was tempered in Manhattan. I would ride to work every day. So I've become like a pretty crazy cyclist from that. It's good. It's good for you. It builds character. The cars are used to it, you know, so it's not like, in some ways it's more dangerous riding here in Austin where they're like, what is a bike doing? You know?
Yeah. But it's changed in New York a little and maybe around the country, because now there's electric bikes everywhere.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I haven't heard that there have been more accidents because of them, but it seems like there will be. I mean, they're just so much faster.
Mark, I think you and I need to do a podcast that's just like cycling and high school wrestling.
Yes, I'm down. Cycling and wrestling.
Sounds like two different podcasts. One of the most disgusting parts of my personality is when I willingly choose to bike over the Brooklyn Bridge, knowing that it's going to be packed with tourists, just so I can like get angry at tourists.
Be like, it's a bike lane. It's a bike lane. Like,
bing, 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 bike lane.
By the way, I've had two walkabouts with my best friend from college in the last 2 weeks. And he walked over the Brooklyn Bridge to meet me right at like 1 Center Street. Because I've been in the city this last week. And the schwitz, the sweat. He's a hairy dude. So the schwitz, he brings a second shirt. I don't know if, Tanner, you have to do that when you bike over the Brooklyn Bridge, but you're not going that fast because of the tourists.
Right.
It is, I mean, palpable that the New York humidity and just the mayonnaise.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I always brought a second shirt to work so that I could change.
Yeah.
I just bring like 6 shirts everywhere.
Yes. New York, it's crazy.
Sweat right through them.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to give you one last question from Tanner, and then we will let you go to the beach.
All right, well, this has been so much fun. This is better than the beach, guys. Bring
I'm
it,
sure
Tanner.
Your kids disagree. So my son, let me kind of give you a breakdown of his proportions. He's 25th percentile for height, so he's pretty short for his age.
I'm right there with you in the living room. Same.
That was me too.
He's 30th percentile for weight, so he's little.
Okay.
But he's 90th percentile for head size.
Really?
So he's kind of proportioned like a Tootsie Roll Pop.
Okay. Well, Tanner, I have one thing to say already. And then if your question develops further, which I would expect us from you, I just want to say, interject. In high school or maybe middle school, when we were learning evolution, I believe there was a supposition that eventually we would evolve to have enormous heads and very small bodies because we're using our brains so much more than we have to do physical manual labor. And it's possible.
He's the next stage of evolution.
It's possible that Miles is the missing link. The Australopithecus.
The next missing link.
The 21st That's... century.
Wow. He speaks fluent dog. And he's
Well, as we might imagine, the missing link did.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Here's the trouble, though, is I think it makes him both top heavy and makes his head kind of a target. And he often will like launch himself off the bed or climb an armchair and fall off and land on his head mostly. So his head is kind of covered in bruises and black eyes a lot of the time. What do I do about that? How do I stop him from constantly harming his head?
Okay, well, here's another way to go. Because I know I suggested that you send him to live with the dogs, which is still one viable option.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another.
Because then it's not my concern.
Or, you know, honestly, a Hungarian orphanage where he could learn from some of the best parenting experts.
Go right to the headquarters of Resources Infant Educaring. Monte Gerber will take care of Miles and he'll speak Hungarian and he will be the Marv Albert of sportscasting.
Perfect.
For Marvelous Marv. Infants.
Yeah.
That's a second option. The third is that you explain to him that he's actually a bobblehead. He is a living bobblehead, which in our time we've never seen. We've seen, and by the way, on Royal Pains, I had my own bobblehead. It was made like shit. All of them broke. All my friends had them, and maybe they broke them themselves. Anyway, but you have yourself a living bobblehead. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Giant head, small body, and you could, if you want to turn him into the Kawhi Leonard bobblehead or the Djokovic bobblehead or the bobblehead of some...
he's Matt got built-in Damon, Halloween costumes for the rest of his life.
A Jonas Brother bobblehead. You can just get him plastic surgery to look like whoever you need to be, and it's a living bobblehead.
This is great.
That's great. So he can either be a dog or a living bobblehead. His destiny is set for him.
Yeah,
that's right. And I don't need a commission.
I think I've got all the answers I need on raising my son, Jack.
Yep, I feel good too. And this has been Dead Talk.
Dead Talk, yes.
You can say it too if you like, Mark.
Dead Talk. Can we do it right now?
And this has been
Dead Talk. Dead Talk. Okay.
We'll fix it.
I just would like to get it. One more.
And this has been
Dead Talk.
Yeah,
there it is.
We sort
Nailed
of did it.
It.
We sort of did it.
Wow, this is living the dream. And speaking of Dad Talk, Watson at Peak Watson has a cat, a dog, two goldfish, two children, four stepchildren, ranging in ages from 7 to 17, his mother-in-law, and a ghost living in his house. So that's...
I'm going to cast all of them. Babysitter's little sister.
Yeah.
Coming to Quibi. Very soon.
I can't wait. We will let you go to the beach. Thank you so much.
Guys,
it's been an honor to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you for coming on.
Solidarity.
Do you want to...
Yeah, Dad Solidarity.
Do you want to pitch anything? Do you want to talk about Royal Pains?
Yeah. I would like to just take an extra 20, 30 minutes to talk about glossopharyngeal nerves, tracheotomies on dogs.
Perfect.
Whatever.
All right.
Well,
Mark,
awesome.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. Congrats
Such
on the
pleasure,
success
guys.
Of the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And
Mark,
we're back.
Thank
and
you
he's
for
gone.
Joining us today.
And he's gone. He's gone, which is rude, frankly, for someone who I consider to be one of my best friends.
He did follow up with an email and was like, that was the most fun I've ever had. You guys are my best friends.
Yeah.
Please come to my estate anytime you want.
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably take him up on that.
I think we will. He is my best friend. I love him so much and I kiss him so much and I hope it's okay to say that.
I think so.
Yeah. I hope he's not listening. What I would love to say now is that it is time for us to leave and it is also time for us to go. I would like to thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us.
You're welcome.
On their behalf. And what I would also like to say is please Help to support our show by subscribing to our Patreon. It is a great way to keep us doing what we are doing, and it is also a whole other show every week about the Little Sister books. It's getting rave reviews. Everyone loves it, and
it's
we
going
sing
to soon
the
be a Quibi.
Descriptions. Soon it's going to be a Quibi
soon to be
with
seen
Mark
on Quibi.
Himself.
Yeah.
You can find that at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. It's tons of fun. Please join the growing army of the elite babies, and you get to learn about our secret lives outside of the show, and you get news earlier than everyone else does, and
about
we sing the description.
Pending moves. Yep.
About pending moves. You can also buy our merch. You can find that at bit.ly/BSCCmerch. We got t-shirts, we got totes, we got pins, we got all sorts of fun stuff over there. That's another way to support our show. And a final way to support our show is to please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a nice rating and review. You don't have to say much, but it helps if you give us a 5-star review and say that you like the show. It's good for us to read it, and it's also good to keep us relevant.
It's good for Apple to read
Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Finally, please do join the Facebook group. Go to the Babysitters Club Facebook page and join the group. That is where the action happens. It's called Baby Nation, and everybody is nice in there, and everybody has a good time.
Yep, and we do episode recaps, episode discussion threads every week, which
yeah,
are
and it's good.
Vibrant and active and fun.
And we're in there, and our wives are in there.
And you'd have known about my move to Connecticut
yeah.
weeks ago had you
weeks
been a part
ago.
Of that group.
Weeks ago.
Yeah.
All that remains this week is for me to say that this week we did read a novel called Babysitter's Club Netflix show number 8, Christie's Big Day. Next week we're going to be reading and discussing a fascinating and delicious and delightful novel called
Video
Netflix
novel.
Show season 1, episode 9, Hello Camp Moosehead, part 1.
Part 1.
Wow.
Okay, that's going
to
be fun.
That's exciting. Finally, I would like to tell you that this week my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
And my name is Tanner Greenring.
Please remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do.
It makes it a thousand times worse when you say, don't forget to let your daddy, which is what you almost said.
Yeah, that would have been bad. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been. Invented. Okay, I've hit record. My numbers are going up. I just want to make sure my phone's on airplane mode. It is. God, I'm so on top of shit. Everything seems to be going well.
Okay, if you
that's
say
true
so.
For you too.
I got
too?
Like maybe an hour and a half of sleep last night.
Perfect.
Just
so you're going
to
be in a salty
lost the
mood.
Ability to yes.
Good. Perfect.
I've completely lost the ability to sleep. I've been in a bad mood all day.
Great.
I did a little day drinking earlier, which didn't help improve my mood.
Perfect.
Afterward.
Wonderful.
I have a ton of packing to do.
Great. I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Get it all out, because I need you to put your best foot forward before we start the episode. I want a smiley version of you.
Smiley Tanner's not here tonight.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.